The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
In our last session in systematic theology, we discussed the doctrine of inspiration, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in guiding the biblical writers to pen the words of Scripture. Hi, my name is Mark, and I am your host for Systematic Theology at Riverside Baptist Church in beautiful Southern California. And it's my prayer that you'll be blessed with this study. In this session, Pastor Christian will discuss the topic of Revelation. Please turn to your Bibles to Psalms 19, and let's get our thinking caps on to worship the Lord with all our minds and be equipped with biblical knowledge right now in our systematic theology at RBC.
In tonight's session, we begin in Psalm 19 to discuss this doctrine of revelation. What is the doctrine of revelation? Is that the book of Revelation written by the Apostle John? No, not entirely. Revelation is that which we refer to as the message from God. Pastor Christian, I thought that was inspiration. Well, no, revelation is not inspiration. Revelation is the message from God, while inspiration is the method which God used to relay the message. Inspiration is the method which God used to deliver the message, to bring the message. Revelation is the message itself. Okay? In other words, inspiration answers the question, what method did God use to give His message? While revelation answers the question, what message did God give? The word revelation comes from the Greek word that means a disclosure, an unveiling, apocalypsis, right? Apocalypse, an unveiling. So revelation then would be a disclosure by God, or an unveiling by God to humankind. Had God not revealed Himself, there wouldn't be theology, and there wouldn't be a Sunday night service like ours tonight to discuss systematic theology. But God is not silent, is He? God is not silent, and He has disclosed Himself. He has revealed Himself to mankind. That is, He has communicated with us. That is, that God chose to open communication with mankind. And so, to further confuse you tonight, I hope not, okay? The method is inspiration. The message is revelation. I'm going to ask you a question, and this will answer our topic this evening. What media did God use to give His message? CNN or Fox News? Absolutely not. God is not a faker, right? But when we're talking about media that God used to give His message to mankind, we're talking about the vehicles on which God's message is delivered. We're talking about the platforms with which God delivered His message. And there are two columns in which they fall. The first column that you see there is what we refer to as general revelation. The vehicle on which God used to deliver his message is through the media of nature, providence, and conscience. And that's why I told you to be there in Psalm 19. We will get to that in just a moment. Professor McEwen defines revelation in this way. Okay, I'm going to go to another slide here, but we'll come back to that slide later on in case you have not done, you have not finished writing that. But here is what Professor McEwen said about revelation. He said that general revelation is God's witness of himself to all men, mediated, here's that word again, mediated through the created order. In one sense, the universe itself reveals God. The universe itself reveals information about the Supreme Being. God's stamp is on everything that he has planned, created, presently sustains, and controls. In short, every aspect of the universe bears testimony, or it bears witness concerning God. While this revelation is restrictive in content, it is nevertheless absolutely clear and divinely authoritative. And think of it this way, in two statements, okay? When we speak of revelation, general revelation, think of it this way. It is given to mankind in general. All right? It is given to the general population and not to a restricted group. And second thing you need to think about this general revelation is that it gives a general knowledge of God. Okay? This general knowledge includes at the least God's existence and something of his character. But it doesn't include the information on the love of God. It doesn't include information on the way we are treating him, the way that we offended him by sin. It doesn't include the information that we need to repent of our sins and faith, put our faith in Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ. It doesn't include the information of the promise of forgiveness. So that's general revelation. Okay? I will never forget Seth during my first 3 years in the Navy. Seth antagonized me for who knows what was in his mind or what demons troubled him. But he didn't like me until that time when he needed a jump on his Ford Bronco. He was the one who told us that he didn't like Christians because they were hypocrites, except that guy over there where he pointed his finger at me. One day, we got on the subject of atheists and agnostics. And I asked him, Seth, do you believe in God? Do you believe that there's a God? He looked at me with a smirk on his face, kind of a condescending voice at me, and said, of course I do. And then he said, all you got to do is look at the sky and the stars at night and conclude that somebody with a big capital S somebody got to put those stars up there. What is that? What is Seth telling me? General revelation. That's what general revelation does. It tells us that there is a supreme being who is the creator of all things visible and invisible. But general revelation doesn't necessarily tell us that this God who created the world loves us and that He sent His Son to die in the place of sinners. So the classic text for this is found in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. You're there, right? Say amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. There it is, folks. And the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. What? Morning after morning is the uttering of the revelation of God. Night unto night showeth knowledge. Night after night. Isn't that what my friend Seth said? All you got to do is look at the stars at night and be informed that there is that somebody with capital S somebody who put all those things up there. Right? Night after night showeth knowledge. There is no speech. There's no words there. Right? When was the last time you looked at the sky and says, God loves you, smile, or something like that? No, right? There's no words, no speech, nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, even though there's no words, there is that information, there is that knowledge, which goes to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth. As a strong man to run a race, his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of the earth of it. And there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. The theologian by the name of Paul N. says this, quote, God's revelation in nature is perhaps the most prominent demonstration of general revelation. These verses, which I just read to you, affirm His revelation to the human race in the heavens as well as on earth. The psalmist indicates that this revelation is continuous. It occurs day to day. It occurs night to night. Amen, CJ? Amen. This revelation never ceases. Furthermore, it is a wordless revelation. Finally, its scope is worldwide. No one is excluded from this revelation of God. Wherever man peers at the universe, there is orderliness. At a distance of 93 million miles from the earth, the sun provides exactly the right temperature environment for man to function on earth. Where the sun closer, it would be too hot to survive. And where it further away, it would be too cold for man to function. If the moon were closer than 240,000 miles, the gravitational pull of the tides would engulf the earth's surface with water from the oceans. Wherever man looks in the universe, there is harmony, there is order. And this, my friends, points to the existence of a creator, as my antagonizing friend declared. So, that is one medium, creation, nature, which God used to as a vehicle for His revelation. Another medium of general revelation is providence. I want you to go to Acts chapter 17 for this. Acts chapter 17. Providence is another medium on which God used and uses still to deliver his message, or his, not to deliver his message, but to show his revelation, right? To show that he is engaged in the affairs of men, that he is involved in the history of mankind. Acts chapter 17, the context here is Paul and Barnabas, and they were on their missionary journey to the city of Lystra. This is a city found in modern-day Turkey today. When they got there, there was a man crippled from his mother's womb, and Paul and Barnabas healed him. And this guy, the one who was healed, was now standing upright and walking and leaping and praising God. Well, actually, the people who witnessed this were not quiet praising God. In fact, they were praising Paul and Barnabas and calling them the names of their gods, Mercurius and Jupiter, the gods of the Roman Empire. That'd be Hermes and Zeus in the Greek language. Anyway, obviously, Paul and Barnabas, what did they do? Stop. Don't do that, right? They corrected their bad theology, their wrong view, and made a statement about the providence of God. Look at verses 14 and through 17 as a medium of God's revelation of himself to mankind. Look at, did I say 14? 14. Yeah, 14 through 17. No, I can't find it. I am so sorry for that. But here it is. In that verse where we find Lystra, the ministry there, all right? The Apostle Paul said this to them, that in the providence of God, and he explains what the providence of God is, that in his providence, he reigns upon the earth the same as he does to the unsaved and the saved. He reigns to the earth, both to the good citizens as well as the bad citizens. And in that way, the providence of God is a vehicle on which God revealed himself. All right? Now let's move on to the third one here. And the third medium for God's revelation is what we refer to as conscience. Okay. Now, I'm pretty sure this is the correct text for this one. So Romans chapter 2. All right. Romans chapter 2. And I want you to look at verses 14 and 15. Okay. Now, the Apostle Paul had already made a hint, a clue to this in chapter 1. If you recall chapter 1, where he said that the people of the world already have a general knowledge of God. The only problem was that they suppressed the truth of God. They hold God's knowledge in unrighteousness. They suppress the knowledge of God. But here in chapter 2, we are told explicitly what this is. Okay? Paul specifies what medium of knowledge that was which he was speaking of in chapter 1. Look at verses 14 and 15. Romans 2, 14 and 15. For when the Gentiles, who's the Gentiles class? That's non-Jews, right? That would mean the Filipinos and the Caucasians and the blacks and so on, right? All of us, the Gentiles, we are the Gentiles, which have not the law. Were we given the oracles of God, the Ten Commandments? No, we were not given those, right? Who were given those? The Jews. Good. So when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. Wow. How amazing is that? How is this possible? These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So here we observe that this indicates that God has placed intuitional knowledge concerning himself within the heart of man. Another theologian said it this way: man intuitively knows not only that God values goodness and abhors evil, but also that he is ultimately accountable to such a righteous power, end quote. And so we observe that God's revelation is found in creation, that is nature. It's found in providence. It's also found in conscience. Does God stop there, though? No, he doesn't. And thank God that he doesn't. Why? Because he further reveals himself more completely and perfectly through what we call special revelation. Special revelation. And we begin with the classic text of John chapter 1, verse 18. In the special revelation category, God revealed himself completely in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of Man, the Son of God. John 1:18. In John 1:18, the context here is the Apostle John writing, and he is writing in the same style of Moses, where Moses begins Genesis in the same words as here written by John: in the beginning was the Word, and so on. And then we see here tonight in this passage that God more fully revealed himself through Jesus Christ of Nazareth, down in verse number 18. Look at, no man hath seen God at any time. Why? Because God is a spirit. And then the Apostle John says this: the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he, that is the begotten Son, hath what? Declared him. That is, he fully revealed him. He had a disclosure. He had an unveiling of God the Father through Jesus Christ. The man Jesus actually gave a full account of God the Father by his perfect life, by his perfect work, and by his perfect words. And so, when Jesus left the apostles, okay, fast forward now to the eve of Jesus' death on the cross. Do you remember what he promised the apostles? What did he promise Jesus? Yes, Scott. Yes, to send the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. And what would he do? He would guide the apostles and he would teach the apostles all the things that they ought to write for the next generations of disciples. And at the end of the first century, probably just at the turn of the next century, around 110 AD, the Bible is completed. Right? And by the way, in Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, which was written by the last apostle of Jesus Christ, by the name of John the Beloved, what did John say, or what did the Holy Spirit say to John about adding or not adding to the Word of God? Those who would add, they will have what? A curse, right? And those who would, yeah, that's right. And those who would subtract. Those would subtract would also have a curse. Yeah. And so this is very serious, right? The words of Scripture are now complete. The special revelation is now complete. The Bible, of course, now is the final and complete revelation of God given to us, not only that God exists, not only that we have sinned against a holy God, not only that God loves the world, but also to tell us of the redemption that is found only in Jesus Christ. You see, were it not for this special revelation, we would never have known salvation. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. He said to him, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, for correction. I remember that this word correction comes from a Greek word orthos. Like what an orthodontist would do is to what? To correct a crooked teeth. Or an orthopedic would correct a broken and crooked ankle or whatever, feet. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. Pastor Christian, what's the point of all this? Well, I think it's pretty clear, right? We need to learn and study and research the Scripture. Meditate on the Word of God so that you will become perfect, complete, needing nothing else, truly furnished, like that of a house that is truly furnished. There's no need for anything else. The house is ready for habitation, truly equipped for anything and everything that will come at you from the world. That's the point. It is the Word of God which makes us ready and equipped to face a world of troubles, a world of trials. The question for you this evening is this: will you then commit to knowing the Scriptures, meditating upon it, and letting it equip you for the bombardment of the world, letting it equip you to face a world of troubles. That's the point. And I challenge you this night, on this dawn of a new year, to delve into the Word of God as He has chosen to communicate Himself to us. May the Lord find us faithful. Let's close in prayer.
Since the Bible is the revealed Word of God, isn't it important enough to read it at the very least? I hope you can appreciate that truth. It's my prayer that you've been blessed by the content of this study. If you have any questions about this session, please call our church office at 951-687-6106 or visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again next time on our Systematic Theology at RBC.